It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We're just hanging out in the studio today and just talking about the weather and talking about all the good stuff that's coming because I think spring has sprung, Bob. I mean, our clocks went ahead last weekend, and I didn't miss that hour a bit. I was loving the fact that the next day it was 8 o'clock and it was still light out and I could, you know, still be dinking around in front of my grill. But I'm Jopping. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, good to see you, buddy. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking a little time out for this smoky radio show. We are today, it's going to be Meet the Butcher because we have Tim Sobey in the flesh joining us. And how are you, Tim?
Doing great, and it's a lot of flesh, I might add,
too. Yeah. Doesn't one of your brother-in-laws or something, isn't that your nickname with him, is Meat?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
my brother, yeah.
It's a special name. Yeah. I mean, nobody else can call you that.
And his son's the meat mechanic.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Grab his own original.
Right.
So anyway, the good weather's here, and we'll see if it sticks.
It will.
We're chewing on some Sobey jerky right now, so if you hear us stop and try and swallow and get some chomping in here, we're doing a little hillbilly. He knows how to take care of us. And some barbiaki. So we'll talk all sorts of stuff about Sobey Meats throughout the show. It's going to be like a giant meat fest. Oh, so be it.
Right. So, Bob, I got to tell you, I had the typical buddy come over. He shall remain anonymous. But shows up last week with a Packer brisket. Says, I've always wanted to cook one of these. And then I'm like, well, why the hell are you in my house then? Right? No, I always wanted you to cook one of these for me, he clarifies. So, whump, on my table is about 14 pounds of brisket.
Do I know this guy?
What? Yeah, you might.
Oh.
But he'll remain nameless. But anyway, this brisket shows up and he says, I want corned beef for St. Paddy's Day. And I'm like, well, okay, that's okay.
Gonna be in a few days.
Right, yeah. But so we brined it up, right? And I only put a 3-day brine on it. And then pulled it out of the brine on Thursday morning, fired up the pellet smoker, and I cut the point off so I had a flat and a point. And I actually carved too deep when I was bringing the fat line out of that point. And it broke into two pieces.
Perfect.
For me. So I had three pieces of meat. And there's a couple morals to this story is that usually the point is thicker and I want to put that on the hotter part of my grill. So not thinking I did it, but because it was in two pieces, my pellet grill, if the firebox is on the left, the hottest end of the grill is on the right because that blower blows all the heat down to one end and then it comes back across before it exits out, right? So those two little pieces of point, which are usually the longest, cooked quickest. So I had those done 2 or 3 hours before I wanted to eat, which was fine. I rested them in a cooler. Everything was fine. But that flat I had up on the nose of that thing, and it didn't get done by the time I wanted to do it, right? So I slid it down on the hot part, but it was too little too late. So I had six people for St. Paddy's Day because, you know, they wanted to bring people over and eat the meat that I made for them. So we did Reuben sandwiches, which was no big deal, but the big piece of the flat, which was the beautiful part of the meat, because I'd busted up that point in two pieces, we didn't ever touch it because it wasn't done yet. And about 8 o'clock, when everybody's done eating, that thing gets done, and I pull it off, and I slice it up and send it home with them. But, yeah, it was
kind of pastrami, isn't it?
Right, yeah, kind of. A little bit.
Slice it off and put it in your fridge. The heck with that.
Right. Well, I didn't give it all to him, but I put some of it in there. Yeah, it was.
I'll teach him.
Yeah, it was just a different scenario. But anyway, you know, so I thought I was going to, I had all day to do it. I thought I was going to knock it out, and I used the wrong piece of equipment or the wrong end of the piece of equipment, and we ended up like that. But
I didn't even have any, well, I shouldn't say that. On St. Paddy's Day, I'm batching it for about a week and a half.
Surprise. Cold weather, Mo's out of town.
She's down south, taking care of a couple little twins.
Yep, yep.
And so, which is great. I wish I could have went with her. But I went to the store and I bought a can of Hormel's corned beef hash. So I did a little corned beef hash and a couple of poached eggs for breakfast on St. Patrick's Day.
So you didn't tell me you were batching it because we had plenty. I'd have had you over.
Oh, no, no. I love Hormel corned beef hash. It's weird. I grew up
on it in that austerity program on Reed City, I think. That's where that all happened.
Well, I don't know, but one of my favorite little restaurants fries it up crispy for me and puts a couple poached on it. And to me, that's just a wonderful breakfast.
You can put gravy on that or ketchup or neither?
So anyway, Tim, good to see you. We have an annoying person in the studio. I didn't screw mine up, so mine turned out great.
Well, it turned out great. Mine was just late.
Yeah.
Once it came out of the can, it was just fine. Right.
Yeah. The talent that guy has is amazing. Yeah.
I did stop at my daughter Maggie's, and she has an Instapot.
Yeah.
She did her corned beef in that.
How'd that turn out?
She loves that thing.
Well, you know why? It's a modern day cooker that makes everything in about a third the time. And I had one. I found myself never using it, and I gave it away to my stepson, and he uses it all the time. Maggie's age, right? So, yeah, I think it's a generational thing. I just like traditional cooking.
Well, but like for corned beef, you're really just boiling it anyway. I mean, you're putting it in the oven in a broth, or I mean, I don't ever smoke them.
Yeah.
I like traditional corned beef, so I'll do it about 3-4 hours, and then I'll throw some cabbage on top for a couple more hours, and that, to me, is just how I like it.
Right.
That's how I want it.
Now, Tim, I saw on your website or Facebook or something, you prepared a Irish dinner for sale.
Yeah.
Was that ready to eat? Did they take it home and heat it up?
It was ready, so that's what we did for our lunch. And it was a boiled dinner. But I made it in such a fashion, if you were to think of serving it up in a container like stew.
Okay.
So somebody you can grab and go. So we cut the cabbage smaller. So typically, you know, you'd have that chunk of corned beef, some red skin taters, some carrots, you know, that'd be separated on a plate. We just kind of did it up all together so we could serve it easy. People could eat it easier.
And, right.
Son of a biscuit eater. I'll tell you, I love that stuff, too. Teresa's not as much of a fan.
Right.
So I got my fill, and, man, we blew through it. We had three roasters, and I thought, oh, man, I really went overboard, and we ran out. So
right. Well, there you go. Then you made the right amount if you ran out.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of people, like with me, my wife doesn't really care for corned beef.
Uh-huh.
So if I make some, I mean, it's just me.
Yep. And that's a completely different animal to cook, because you're talking about smoking a brisket or doing a corned beef brisket. You know, typically, yeah, you're going to need a little bit more of that moisture with the corned process to cook that down, keep it moister, and it's going to end up with vegetables or something like that.
Yep.
As opposed to the fresh brisket seasoned up or rubbed or whatever you do and smoke that. So same cut. Two completely different ways to do it.
Yeah, the corning is a brining process, so it drives a lot of moisture in, but you have to be careful to still cook it in moisture because the cooking process, if you don't use the moisture, will draw all that out of there, you know, the salt and the flavorings. But, yeah, it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's that once-a-year thing that I do, and you know, I sound like I was complaining. Maybe I was a little, but it was all good. I mean, I just wasn't planning on an all-day cook, and that's what a you know, brisket does for me. So,
and even with, you were talking about the Hormel canned product, we'll call it, corned beef to me is, and brisket is anyway, is a little bit of a rich meat. So you have the potatoes to kind of cut the richness, which to me then makes a good, even if it's out of the can, quick and easy for one bachelor, you're getting something to eat.
I love that stuff.
but the potatoes help to cut the richness of the corned beef in it. No matter what you put with it, the vegetables come out tasting way better.
Of course, there's a great use for your leftover corned beef is just, you know, roast some potatoes, cube them up, kind of pre-cook them a little bit, or fry them, and then throw your corned beef in at the last minute, cubed up. You can make your own with onions, and that's pretty wonderful, too.
Well, yeah, I made an omelet on Thursday morning after the St. Patty's Day because I had all that brisket left over, and I diced that up and put in some eggs and some onions and a little bit of Swiss cheese. I didn't dare go with the kraut. I almost did. I'm like,
missed
let me make
by
a Reuben,
that much.
Let me make a Reuben omelet, but I stopped on the kraut. So, but anyway, it was good. So you can, there's a lot of things. Meat, man, you can use it for anything.
Well, then when you go fishing, make sure you have the kraut. So when you're in the vehicle, you can share that all the way to the stream.
There you are, baby. Yeah, trout season's
Tim's
coming
tip
up.
Tip of the day.
Coming up next, there might be a chicken tip or two. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we have the meat man with us this week. One of our board of directors, Mr. Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats, is joining us in the studio. We're talking everything meat. As Bob says, so be it. So we're going to do it. Thought we'd go down to Yardbird Road right now. We talk a lot of beef, usually. I got a mouthful of jerky.
I noticed that.
That I'm talking out of the side of my mouth. So I'll stop now and you can go.
Okay. I've been practicing talking chicken. Do you want me to do my chicken impersonation?
No.
My daughter Maggie had chickens, and every time you'd drive over there, they'd be all over the yard. And, you know, these millennials, there's a big chicken thing. They all want to raise chickens. It was really nice.
How'd they do on the slaughter part?
Oh, yeah. Fail.
Not so much.
So, but they
they're still raising chickens.
All the fresh eggs. No, the coyotes helped them out a lot.
Yeah.
But I would have a ball when I'd go over there because I would just start imitating them, and they'd just walk up to me, and they're turning their heads like, wow.
Doing that chicken thing.
He talks our language.
Yeah.
I feel safer around him.
Chicken see, chicken do. Uh-huh. Is that how that is?
Hey, Colonel.
Yeah, so anyway, I think having, you know, Tim Sobey here has so much history in food science and prep and processing just for all your licensing. And I know you're always going over to Michigan State and taking these classes and your associations, and you're always going after a higher level of learning, which, you know, we just learned so much from you that I thought, even though chicken sounds boring or everybody knows chicken, no, let's go back to basics a little bit and talk about what we were talking about on break, like just the contamination side alone, because that's a tricky part for people. What are your ideas there?
Yeah, and actually, we just had a new hire. When anybody hires into our shop, as we tell them, treat chicken like poison. So if you were going to touch whatever, you touch decon, you wouldn't want to touch your counter, your phone, this, that, and everything else because of the salmonella. So whatever you touch, you know, clean, 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 you know. So as we were talking about using the tongs to put the chicken on when it's raw,
right,
you're going to want to clean those tongs off and sanitize them before you're handling the ready-to-eat product. somebody. Then you end up, you got a case of the squirts. You know, the next day you think, oh, man, it was the potato salad. It was this. You might have done it to yourself with the salmonella that you put on that, on the tongs.
Well, and that's what we were talking about on break. I told my son, like, you know, keep a raw board mm-hmm. for the contaminated raw stuff, and then have a fresh board for the cooked foods, and you keep your tongs separate. And Jop and I got into trouble years ago with having some volunteers help us.
Yeah.
And
that was at a church event, I think.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord, we didn't get blamed for that. But
I think we did.
Yeah, I know. I know we did.
I'm a firm believer of gloves, gloves, gloves. And because we're using those all day long anyway.
Yes.
And the cost of a box of gloves is pennies.
That'll help you with COVID, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because more people are getting sick from touching than from, you don't need the mask. You need to clean your hands and wear gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And so even if you have that pair of gloves, you go out to the grill, you got gloves on, you take and use the gloves to put the chicken on the grill, your tongs are already clean now anyways, but then take those gloves off, get rid of them.
Reuse them,
yeah. Hey, reuse them for the guy that brings over the corn brisket
to serve his ready-to-eat stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to
I may have the last laugh on that one.
Well, would you want to talk, would you say treat pork like poison too?
Not necessarily, because actually pork, yeah, you can serve 2 degrees less than beef. They've basically eliminated trichinosis. So back in the old days, and so there's a dividing line. If they say, oh, yeah, it's free-range pork, then it's still going to be in the wallow and it's susceptible to getting trichinosis.
Oh.
But the other pork, they've cleaned it up. They've gotten it out of the wallow. So you can serve pork, you know, at 143 degrees or 145 for beef. So we just say use the same temp.
Oh.
So you can eat like a medium rare pork if you wanted to do that.
So no salmonella from pork.
Correct.
Huh.
Yeah. So so once you get going with that, get there again, but even getting it on the grill and then clean those tongs off.
So you just brought up something that triggered a thought with this free range. Everybody talks about free range chicken. Like it's a cool thing, or cage-free chicken.
Be like free burger.
Right, yeah, right. Kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
But anyway, what is there issues with that? You've got a controlled environment, which is not free range, I'm assuming, just like you said with the hogs. And then if they're free range, they're out in your yard picking bugs and running around Bob's daughter's yard. Those are free range chickens, right?
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
So you've brought in different kinds of chicken that you've turned me onto before when I've been in the shop.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What are the different kinds of chicken that might be out there that I could come across in your shop or any place else?
And if you're raising a chicken for eggs, can you eat that?
Eat the chicken? Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when it's done laying eggs. Depending on how old the bird is, so sometimes they would call that a stewing chicken.
Oh.
Because it's an older bird.
Stewy, chewy, it all rhymes. Yeah.
So a stewing chicken, and basically you're going to make a pot of soup out of it when you're done. But yeah, that
stewing Sal.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yep. But actually, they started caging the birds for a specific reason, and that was for viruses. So all three of us are chicken farmers. Back in the days when they weren't, you know, having them in penned up environments. Now, I got a virus on my farm. Sparrows eat the feed at my farm. They fly to Jop. Now they infected his flock. And then they take from him and they fly to your farm. Now all three of us have contaminated birds that are dying
way
in some
to
years.
Go, Tim.
Yeah, so they might lose up to 30-40% of their flock. That's why they started penning them to begin with. Well, then it's people thinking, oh, gee, we got to love our chickens and sing them a song every night and on and on and on. So we got to have free range chickens. So, yeah, if you actually watch what a chicken eats, they're a dirty bird.
They'll
go up to a cow pie and they'll eat the bugs and the corn out of a cow pie.
I'll put this out there that if you do have chickens, I can talk to them and You just send me an email, whisperer. And I'll come over.
Right.
I'll come over.
It's a different term, Tim. It's got to be because he never whispers. Oh, there's no chicken whisperer there. He's a mother clucker, but he's not a chicken whisperer.
Right. Hey, zip your pants up, put that chicken down.
Yeah.
Whoa, you can't see that.
Yeah, right.
Got a broken egg over here.
Right,
so.
Yeah. But anyway, so... And there's the thing, is if you are the millennial and you want to raise chickens, most of them can't go out and slaughter one and put it in the pot because they want them as a pet.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, it's like, whatever. When we eat meat, the animal died. Okay? Plain and simple. It's been since the beginning of time.
Yep.
God put these things on earth for us to eat.
Now they want to make synthetic meat.
Yeah, right. Well, they want to make a lot of things, too. So we're all right. But
I did have a little tofu the other night.
Did you? How'd you like that?
I went for Chinese, had some hot and sour soup.
Yeah.
It was good in there.
Yeah, some toe jam. You had some toe jam in there? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was a little chicken in that soup.
So, Tim, I bought chickens from you that were not your standard chicken. They were like a heirloom chicken or those. What's the difference there, real quick?
So that one particular heirloom breed, it's a French breed, and it actually will marble up similar to what beef is.
Oh.
Very, very expensive chicken.
Yeah.
And
is it like duck then?
No.
Still got white meat.
Yep. And it's still going to taste like chicken. Mm. Although this particular farmer, he didn't quite have it refined yet. And because these chickens truly were out, and it was kind of a neat situation where he was a compost farmer. So the chickens were a byproduct. They'd eat the bugs, grubs, worms, everything that was in there and turn the product to keep that going.
Hmm.
So then he would use those chickens as a meat bird. They had a great flavor, but because they're out walking and running from hawks everything else, well, the drumsticks were like as big as your thumb.
Yeah.
And they were pretty spindly and pretty tough. But so typically that
bird
wouldn't.
Huh?
Yeah, they were a little top heavy, right? I mean, yeah, they couldn't keep it up. But anyway, all right, coming up next, we're going to continue this banter. Maybe we'll talk a little bit some of the best values in the meat market because meat prices are changing. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. We are listening to Grillin' Guys. We were having an interesting little tippy chicken conversation there during the break. But we're back. And you want to talk about some other kinds of meat? One of the things that I've noticed in this COVID time, Tim, is that pork prices seem to fluctuate a lot during this. And sometimes you could get the stuff. I shop at Meijer for some of my things, not my meat, but you'll walk by the meat case and they'll have breasts for 99 cents a pound, right? And then the next time you go back, it's $2.99 a pound. And chicken, pork does the same thing, man. It just seems to be.
Buy one, get one, but it's 10 bucks a pound.
Well, it really isn't. But maybe we could talk a little bit about today, this time of the year. What are the values? Does the product fluctuate throughout the year? And if so, what do you see that's a good value this time of year?
The product continues to fluctuate. And right now, all the things you can't talk about, Dr. Seuss books and Mr. Potato Head and everything else, and you can't mention China. But the fact of the matter is China is buying up all the pork they can get. So that's driving pork prices up right now.
Well, they bought up a lot of our big companies.
Yeah.
Like Smithfield.
Yep.
And Smithfield owns
several brands. We talked about
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like Oscar Mayer and Hormel, I think, are the only two I can buy if it's not at your place. But I love Oscar Mayer bacon. It's dependable.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the pork is
prices are, you know, going up, but yeah, it's going to fluctuate in different cuts. Like now we're getting close to Easter, so the pork butt price always goes up because of making sausages for Easter. And so that's an item that's going to continue to go up. Ribs have stayed up.
Say that again.
Pork butts.
Sausages for Easter?
Yeah, kielbasa.
Huh.
So, you know,
what about hams?
We love our kielbasa hams, which that's a spike. So through the year, they're saving up hams.
Oh, that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you know,
they
got to
just put them in a can, don't they?
The hams?
Ship them over to America.
No. Yeah, for more than
yeah, right. Yeah.
Yep. So, so some of those prices are staying up. Still with pork, in my opinion, the best value still is that loin, the loin meat.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we've talked about this before, pork, the other white meat, taking, you know, the fat and people, I just can't make a good pork chop. So, you know, number one is, you know, only cook it to about 145, 150 degrees. It'll stay moister, mm-hmm. but still the bang for the buck, the loin meat is the best. And it's very, very versatile. You can use it for anything, you know, marinate it before you grill it or, you know, smoke it, brine it, whatever you do. So that's
and you're
one
talking
of the best
about
values.
The loin that's the size of a softball, not the tenderloin that are the size of like
correct.
A tennis ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It would be like a boneless pork chop.
Right.
So that boneless pork loin. Uh-huh.
In your meat case, I know you stuff that. Too.
Yeah.
You'll cut it thick and cut a butterfly a little
yep.
bit. And
stuffed pork chops.
Yep.
And
those are so good.
Oh, thank you.
I have bought your stuffed pork chops numerous times because I'm too lazy to do that. And I'll tell you what, I take all the credit.
And we started doing an apple stuffing that we're using in the pork.
Really?
And my guys, they wrap they'll stuff our pork tenderloins. They do a really, really beautiful job. I mean, the mm-hmm.
So are you butterflying it then and rolling it up like a pinwheel?
The tenderloin itself, you can't roll.
No, loin.
The loin, so those we're just cutting as a thick bone-in chop off our local pigs and cutting about an inch and a half thick, butterfly it open, and then put the stuffing
leave
in there.
Leave a little bit connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do you leave the bone on it when do that so it holds it together?
Uh-huh.
So you cut it right down to the bone, and that's kind of your hinge to...
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was doing wrong because it was always... I was trying to make my own, and I was using boneless, and it would like separate there. And so I just started... Just roasting them with the stuffing on top.
Yeah.
Which was pretty nice, too.
And you can
no wonder his are better.
But the apple stuffing really comes out nice. I mean, apples and pork.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's a great marriage anyway.
Apples and pork chop? Yeah.
And for like Teresa and I, we'll get maybe a smaller pork tenderloin. That's just about enough, you know, that and... You know, I'll let her have three green beans. I'll eat one, and that's a meal.
Right,
doing that.
Yeah.
So, so that comes out pretty good too. And even the pork tenderloin is still a great value as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Chicken. You were mentioning about chicken, and we're just talking about drumsticks, not your fave, but people that are looking to do wings. If you took the drumette section, that
like
first
those.
Section,
I do love those.
And if you and actually. At the risk of sounding like a sales guy now, but we're running 5-pound bags of drumsticks for like $3.50.
Really?
Yeah, so like 70 cents a pound. And wings, you know, you're paying almost $5 a pound. So
well,
you got
we're going
like,
to Sobey Meats right after the show then.
Yeah. So what a great value. And if you think, we like wings, but they're so expensive and what you get, I really encourage people, take your wing recipe and try it on drumsticks.
Do you have, so you have the actual wings on sale?
The drumsticks.
Oh.
Yep.
So we have wings all the time also.
Sure.
But we're blowing out drumsticks.
Is that because they don't sell as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the chicken, it used to be when I was a young feller learning how to cut meat, you know, everybody threw the wing away and now the chicken is raised for the wing.
Yeah. You know, there's probably a business opportunity here for Buffalo Wild Legs.
Yeah.
But I think I'll pass. That's clear. They've already done that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Hooters went out of business in Grand Rapids, right?
But what a great value. And then the other one are boneless, skinless thighs. Very versatile.
Oh.
And even if you're going to do beef and maybe a lot of gals would rather have chicken, they smoke or cook up quite quickly because they're so thin.
Right.
Well, you know,
and versatile.
I did always enjoy a drumstick from KFC. The Colonel could make one that I would eat. Yeah. But it was because it was from Colonel Saunders.
Yeah.
And I think their deep fryers.
So you enjoyed the breading more than the chicken.
Well,
then.
They've got a ton of crap on them, but they also fry them in a pressure cooker. They have like a patented
Broasted.
Deep fryer.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so it pressure cooks and deep fries at the same time.
Yep.
So funny you mention that. I'm going to put a quick plug in here. The leaven herbs and spices, you know, the old commercial we had years ago, we have that breading in our shop.
Oh, oh, right.
So the people that were producing that, you know, and you can't say, what is it, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, right. Well, the Colonel, you know, it's owned by Pepsi, and so we can't advertise it as that. But the people that were making that, we have that breading in our shop. So it's Mary Kay is the producer of that. And they're because they had that recipe, they just can't call it, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken breading, but it's the same stuff.
You like it?
Yes. The thing is, and I would agree with you, you got to get it like deep fry it.
Right.
That's the kicker. And we don't eat much that's deep fry. We don't deep fry it at the house.
Right.
Very
so
much at all.
It makes a mess and it smells the house up.
Yeah.
And that's an outdoor thing for me when I deep fry.
Yeah.
I did make some. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's what I did Sunday for that party is everything I did was outside on the deep fryer.
Right.
And that's where the chicken came in. I took those breasts and I put them in a really nice beer batter. I sliced up a bunch of my last few Vidalias from last year.
Oh.
Still have them in the fridge.
Yeah.
And did onion rings, and I did French fry. It was a total deep fry fest.
That's
the only healthy
one.
Thing we had was some cauliflower.
You can deep fry that, too.
Right? Chicken is very healthy.
So. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's it's one of those things is the last time I deep fried, we did being the Lenten season that it is, Friday night last week, we did a fish fry. I went and bought some cod, frozen cod at Gordon Foods or wherever it was. I mean, just a little pound of it for Lisa and I. And she wanted fried fish. And we couldn't figure out where to go to get it, so we did it at
home. So you actually have that breading.
Yes.
I want to do some Colonel Saunders chicken.
Yeah.
I got my deep fryer out.
Yep.
You have, so what do I do? Do I put water, beer in it, make a batter out of it?
No, it's more,
it
leave it more of, it's dry,
it's dry.
And you're going to do like a dusting of it.
Because that stuff at KFC looks more like it's wet.
Well, that's the extra crispy one that you always buy, the one that's really good for you.
No, I just buy the regular one.
Okay, because I know
that goes on dry.
Yeah,
so they must dip it in egg or something first, then
buttermilk something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to run around the barnyard a little more. We might try to catch a little Easter lamb. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull, we smoke butt. And it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grilling guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt. The Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're here every weekend. We appreciate you being here, too. Hey, we've been talking all kinds of meat with the Mr. Sobey of Sobey Meats. And what do you want to talk about next, Bob?
Well, I think a little lamb would be good, but I wanted to do a little housekeeping here. If you have a station in your market that does not play our show, please send them a link to our website and request that they pick it up. We've got new stations coming on. And, of course, we want to blanket the world with our marvelous voices.
Right.
But also, you can download our show. We have just, I mean, thousands of podcasts. So that's a very popular platform. I think it's overtaking live play, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And those podcasts are fantastic. You can listen at your own discretion. You can carry
your leisure.
Phone. Yeah,
yes.
Well, you know, we're all busy and trying to make a buck.
Right.
And let's just say you have a certain trip you take every week and you got an hour in the car, 40 minutes, it's about for our podcast. And everybody listens to podcasts now.
Sure.
So why not do ours?
How do they get it?
You just go to thegrillinguys.com and look at the top right corner, click on Jack It Up. Also, we are on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. Now, speaking of lamb, do you ever eat kibbeh?
No.
Not me.
Nope.
Okay.
That's your Lebanese wife.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then there's one called raw kibbeh. It's K-I-B-B-E. And I learned to eat that right off the bat when I met my wife's family because I wanted to be, you know, when in Rome. And I found it to be really good. Oh, yeah. Well, there's some good-looking girls in that family.
So, I know. You got one of them, too. I know. I know how that goes.
One, come on.
Right.
So anyway.
The Bob Squad. Okay.
Yeah, Bob's Angels.
Yeah.
So this kibbeh, this raw kibbeh, everybody makes it a little bit different. Now, Safi's restaurant in Grand Rapids, old man Safi, he was Lebanese, and he had about the best kibbeh you would ever want. And it's really ground lamb with herbs and spices and wheat germ in it. And then you serve it raw. So there's your food safety thing. That seems to be just fine, just like steak tartare. But what I wanted to say is, I've become kind of a connoisseur. I like it more than my wife does. She's got brothers that don't even eat as much kibbeh as I do. And
They're in the family. They don't need to suck up.
No, I just like it that much. But I went to, we had Sheshko Grill up.
Right, we had those guys
Nap's
on.
Corners
yep, right,
on.
Yep, here in Grand Rapids.
I go there all the time. The owner's name is Mo. He's really cool. He's from Yemen. He's just an awesome chef. And they work really hard, but their kibbeh, I think they put a little touch of jalapeno in it or something. I mean, it was so stinking good. I got an extra order and brought it down to my brother-in-law the next day because I was meeting him and halfway. We get together in Marshall. It's halfway between us. And I brought him some of that, and he went nuts.
So they can legally serve that
in
a restaurant. Interesting.
Sheshko. It's on Nap Corners.
Well, I think you know what you're buying.
Right in front
of the cinema. It's almost like the Mediterranean sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's same as sashimi.
Yeah.
It's raw fish.
So anyway, let's talk a little bit. Lamb is somewhat of a traditional Easter meat. Do you have to buy a whole one? Do you buy just a shank? Are there other cuts? What's going on with that?
Yeah, the main cuts that we'll sell, shanks, but either lamb chops or leg of lamb are the two biggest sellers. So whether it's a semi-boneless or boneless leg.
So what happens to the rest of that animal? Turns into kibbeh?
Yeah, there is ground or whatever else. So just, you know, during the Easter season, those are the traditional cuts.
I mean, do you guys make lamb burgers?
We have ground lamb in the shop.
And what would you use that for?
Some people like to add that like to a meatloaf or something else.
Really?
And the lamb we have is domestic lamb as opposed to New Zealand lamb.
Right.
And it tastes way, way better. It doesn't have that kind of gamey range taste that the imported lamb does. When we first opened up, and we've had domestic lamb since we opened, somebody ordered up a leg and didn't pick it up. And I thought, well, we just roasted it off. I basically prepared it like a prime rib, just a slow oven roast, 250.
Bring it up to about 140.
Yep. And actually 135 is what I did, a little bit more rare. And our customers said the first Easter, boy, this tastes like prime rib. I'm like, lamb tastes like prime rib. And I did a leg and tried them. Like, holy crap balls. No wonder they said it tasted like prime rib, because it did.
Right.
And there's the difference, you know, with the
domestic. And it was boneless
lamb.
Or bone in?
That was boneless.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just truss it up? Do you season it on the inside? Or
I just season it on the outside, you know.
Okay.
Tim's so you didn't blend. Slice it open. You didn't stuff any...
Nope.
Thyme or rosemary or anything like that.
No, I just seasoned up with Tim's blend.
You know, that Tim's blend, you can put that on anything, man. You really can. Yeah. I use the hell out of that.
Yeah.
I really do. I go through
you
one of those.
You put it on tofu and make it taste like something.
Yeah. There you go, Bob.
There you go. There you go, Randy.
Yeah.
And that domestic lamb is very, very good.
Right.
Because he tried to sell it on the first broadcast he did with me. And Michael Gray ripped him a new one.
Yeah, that was over 11 years ago. Yeah. Some things just never go away.
Yeah, one and done. Right. We're done with that one.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
So you're bricklayer all your life.
Yeah.
I built bridges on my own.
Yeah. But anyway, so you would just roast that, and do most people buy them boneless, or do they buy them bone in, or done?
It's about half, probably a little bit over, maybe 60-40 boneless over semi-boneless.
Right.
And do you think it really matters?
To the taste of the meat itself? Not really. And with
that
lamb,
bone, you know, people always say, and I have this debate with Jop all the time, well, you know, the bone, and I got to believe that whatever magic that bone is imparted in the meat, it's already done by the time you're going to cook it. So leaving it on there, unless you want it for presentation or anything, it doesn't really do any good, in my opinion. It, like I told you, I do with my prime ribs. I take the suckers off and I make some beautiful ribs.
Yeah.
But I want that roast to be cooking evenly.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing is with a bone-in pork chop. It, you know, you never get it as well done. If you have women in particular, like my wife doesn't want to see blood on anything for food. So if I cook her a pork chop, then I got to kind of overcook it to get it done well enough around that bone.
For her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just throw hers in first. So give hers about a 15-minute jump start.
And then put an
start.
M on it. Just take a marker and... Right, M.
No, you'll see it. You'll see it. It's the one that looks like a hockey puck. That's the one she'll get. Yeah.
Well, she's gone, so that's how she cooks them.
Right.
She cooks a snot out of them.
Remember, she gets the podcast, though.
No,
easy,
she
brother.
Doesn't.
Yeah. We just put a toothpick in it, put hers in a few minutes early. They come off at the same time. Hers is more done. Yours is less.
Okay, right. That's a great
exactly.
idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It took me 32 years to figure that out.
So lamb chops, I usually do them marinated. Just because, and then I hit them on a really hot grill for about a minute or a minute and a half on either side, because I like those medium rare.
Yep.
Usually, you know, the rib cage of a lamb is only, what, maybe like 8, 10, 12 inches long?
Yeah,
depending.
About 9 bones. Yeah.
Right, you get 9 bones in there, and they're just little thin chops, but ooh, man, are those good.
Yeah.
So.
They are good. I wonder if you could take that loin off and make ribs, just ribs. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, well, that's not much eating. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to bring the train to a station. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Today's Man Law And under no circumstances shall a man ever defer control of the television remote to a female unless it's your mother.
Oh, yeah, mom rules. Mom rules in the house Mabel. Every time. Right.
Well, we're not watching TV when mom comes over then.
Or we hide the remote and put it on the station that we wanted to watch, right? So Tim, we haven't covered beef, which is my favorite part of the farm. And
have some jerky.
Yeah, well, I've eaten about five pieces of that during the show here. I'm picking it from between my teeth. It's wonderful. Save it for later. But how are beef prices doing? Have they been fluctuating like everything else in this whole COVID time period?
Yeah, there's some, you know, they fluctuate. There are a few cuts that, because of manpower, and hopefully we'll get through this COVID thing, you know, sooner than later, but there are some of those specific muscles, one we use for the Sobey Sizzler, that they're just not separating that muscle out. So just keep moving it on down the line.
What are you doing with a Sobey Sizzler? Is that a ball?
A ball?
A ball tip?
It is not. No, it's a teres major. It's a specific muscle, and it's actually in the front shoulder, and it kind of rides up along up what would be the roast meat, and
so
they
it's not
separate
like a tri-tip.
No, different from a tri-tip.
Because doesn't Brands use a tri-tip or not?
They're using the ball tip.
They're using the ball tip.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this piece of meat is up by the roast.
Yeah,
but it's one specific muscle.
Correct.
Don't you think that Sizzler is like kind of unique to West Michigan because of Brands?
Oh, if I heard right, they were the ones that started that.
Right.
They've had a great run with it, and they do a beautiful job with
they
it
do.
Too.
That was my point. Is I wonder because I've tried making those before, and I've never been happy with the end result. That's why I always use a tri-tip.
Yeah.
Because that comes out so much more tender.
Yep.
What would be the I wonder what would be the key to using a ball tip sizzler like that and getting maybe a little more tender piece of meat. Use a tenderizer on
it? Yep. If you could, you know, Jacquard, that will make a difference.
Okay.
And Brands has it dialed right in. They really do. And when I, you know, if we go there, I'm going to get, that's one of the few restaurants that I'll get a steak from.
Yeah, right? Me too.
And they do a heck of a job on it. So even their larger cut, which, you know, I'm not the skinny cut guy.
Right.
So it might be a couple inches thick, and I always like my medium rare.
Right.
I tell you what, I have never been disappointed how
Isn't
they
that
prepare
funny?
That.
And you know what's cool about Brands? We'll do a commercial here for them, but they're a lot like Sobey. Is they're the working man's steakhouse.
I would agree.
They're not fancy, but you get a great deal, and you get a great piece of meat.
Right.
And Absolutely. Your store,
and
of course,
service.
Most meat shops aren't fancy. I mean, unless you talk about Westbourne or places like that in Detroit, where you pay three times as much for your meat as you're supposed to.
Right.
But I think their MO matches Sobey's very closely. You got that working man's mentality.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that goes in your shop works hard. And,
yeah, I would agree.
And they spend a lot of money.
So Tim, speaking of the shop, how long you guys been around?
In May will be 17 years.
Right. And it's a great story. We'll share it for another time. But it was out of sheer necessity that you and your bride started the shop. And it's a wonderful West Michigan success story. But
it was out of sheer necessity that I found this guy.
Right. Yeah, right.
I was doing a sausage class with Rob Russell, and I needed casings. And I checked all over the place, and they said, well, Sobey might have it. And I'm like, yeah, I got to go up there because I still haven't found that place. That was when you were in your old building.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like an insurance office.
Yeah.
And it was like I drove by it and drove by it. It's like, I don't see a meat shop.
Yeah, that's why everybody paid a premium to go there.
I walked in there and I knew instantly that I would love the place because, number one, you had a pickle barrel. When do you see those?
Yeah, right.
And the people standing in that little lobby trying to get their meat were so happy to be there. And they're all just talking. And
it's a neighborhood place, man.
It's a neighborhood place.
Yeah. So,
and that love for the community has permeated your business. You want to know why you guys have already outgrown that giant building? It's love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tim, tell everybody where you're at.
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Right, which is the northwest side of Grand Rapids, for those of you that aren't familiar with Grand Rapids. But wonderful place. You can't miss it.
You can hit our website and click on the link and look for that Sobey Falcon. Yep. It's the Polish Falcon. Click on the link. It'll take you right there.
That's right. There's more there than just a meat shop. You got to go.
Or just tell Siri. Hey, Siri, take me to Big Tim.
Right, right, exactly.
She knows what Big Daddy is.
Yeah, but anyway. Siri knows a lot of things, doesn't she?
She knows more now.
Right, but hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Tim, thanks for your time. We know you're busy. Always a pleasure to have you in the studio with us. And Barbecue Bob, just keep walking chicken, brother. We'll be all good.
We'll do. I'll be talking chicken.
Yeah, we'll be talking with you next week. See ya.
See ya.